And now, here are your hosts of Lab Radio, sponsored by Coinstructive.
This is Aaron Mungle. I am here at Bitcoin Miami 2016. I'm here with Chris Groshong from Coinstructive.
Hey there.
And we are also here with Peter Gorsera. He is the co-founder of Lawnmower.io, and we're going to have him tell us a little bit more about that. Peter, thanks for joining us.
Yeah, thanks for having me, man.
Great talk today. I learned a lot. Peter gave a talk earlier, and it was really good. You know, he went over some different talking points. So, but before we get into that, tell us a little bit about your background and how you got into this role and industry and... Yeah, tell us a little bit about your journey here.
Sure. I can give you kind of the quick backstory. So I was working at Amazon over in California, and I was doing these like hackathons kind of on the daily, well, every weekend basically, and mostly ones with like big prizes. So there was you guys know the Money 2020 conference?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
So they have a hackathon, and there's like a fat prize, and so I went to go enter that. And there's like a Bitcoin category you can do. And I was like, oh, hell yeah, I want to do that. Because the rest of them were terrible. They're all like crazy old-fashioned payments, gateways, and stuff like that. And I was like, that's boring. I'm going to do Bitcoin. So I took the Acorns concept. Do you guys know the Acorns app, kind of?
I've heard of it, but if you want to...
Yeah, I can probably explain it real quick. So yeah, it's just a mobile app where they invest spare change into mutual funds for you. So, you know, when you spend money, let's say you spend $3.50 somewhere, they'll round it up to $4 and they'll invest that 50 cents into a mutual fund for you. So I thought that was a cool concept, but mutual funds are kind of boring. So when I was at the hackathon, I was like, I'll combine Bitcoin and this Acorns concept, and I made spare change into Bitcoin, which was Lawnmower. And that was just at the hackathon, so it was not good. It was low quality. It was a quick job. But I posted it online, and people started to like get into it kind of. We're like, yeah, this is something I would actually use. So then I recruited two of my friends, and we kind of just built Lawnmower from there, pretty much.
Very cool.
Yeah.
And how did you get into sort of, I guess, at what time did you discover Bitcoin and blockchain? I mean, was it just sort of like one day you realized this is really cool, or had you kind of heard about it, and then all of a sudden you thought, hey, let me like build around this? Or
right. So actually, shamefully maybe, the first time I heard about Bitcoin was about through like the Silk Road, basically. Uh-huh. Seeing like the Gawker article that came out about that, I don't know, 3 or 4 years ago maybe. And at the time, I was in school for computer science, so you know, I was studying stuff like that, but I didn't go deep into Bitcoin, and I kind of just accepted it as this like black market PayPal almost. Like, I didn't know of the blockchain and all of like the cryptography going on behind the scenes, and the fact that it was decentralized. Like, none of this registered with me because I didn't dig deep at all. I kind of just thought it was like an illegitimate thing most of the time. And then I want to say like a year later, especially when the price was, you know, jumping around and stuff, was when I really looked into it and was like, wow, this is actually really powerful technology, and it's something like worth looking into, you know.
Very cool. So let's go a little bit into, you know, the talk you gave. You had some pretty cool like thoughts and talking points. You want to just go over, like, you don't obviously redo the talk, but you know, you could just kind of touch on some of the high points. You had like some three main concepts, and you kind of went into a little bit about some use cases. You kept it really like practical, like how this would actually play out. So I thought that was a really good,
cool,
good approach.
Thanks, man. Yeah. Yeah. Basically, my talk was kind of about the new types of speculation that will be enabled by blockchain technology, because you know, our app lets you invest into Bitcoin, which is a kind of a form of speculation. But yeah, I wanted to talk about like a couple use cases that I thought were really cool, like of like random ideas I'd had. Basically, like, I've talked to my friends a lot, you know, we're always working on Lawnmower, but the use cases I presented, I was also like, yeah, these are also cool ideas, guys, we should look into those too. So for example, one of the ones I gave was game items on the blockchain. So, you know, right now your game items, when you're playing like World of Warcraft or you're playing like League of Legends, like you're stuck, all of your items are kind of stuck as rows in an arbitrary database somewhere. And there's no reason that needs to be. You know, they should be items that you can physically take out of the game and trade freely on open markets. And you can do that with blockchain technology. The other one that I really liked that I thought of for the talk was seeing like someone's social media profile is almost as like a stock in a company, kind of, because it has value within like a certain application, kind of.
And to you, that company.
Right, exactly. And right now, like you don't receive any kind of, you know, payment or revenue or anything for that, for you know, playing that important part in that ecosystem, kind of. But with blockchain technology, we could do stuff like revenue shares and selling portions of your social media profile automatically and really easily. So, yeah, I thought that was cool.
That makes like a really interesting, like, sorry, I went right to Facebook.
It's all good.
Social media, but like, you have your timeline, right?
Right.
And so is that something where you're saying, like, people's information could basically be, like, an immutable... They could build their own kind of, like, immutable...
Like, timeline,
social
you mean?
Media timeline that would then could be compensated by that company that's where it's being posted based on, like, the numbers of views and...
So, yeah, yeah.
To that extent? Or are you looking at more of, like, a broader picture?
I think what you're saying with your Facebook example is definitely on point. The immutability I hadn't really thought of, but, you know, that would be cool, too. But the fact that, like, you could... There's a lot of factors that play into there. Like, if you make a particular Facebook post and it helps... another Facebook user click on an ad and Facebook gets paid, then maybe you should get paid too, right? Because you played a part in that sequence of events, kind of. Or if you promote a link that happens to be one of Facebook partners, mm-hmm. then maybe you get a cut of that as well. Kind of looking at like any kind of content you create as your property and you receiving like dividends or rewards for that property based on the part you played, you know, in any kind of commercial situation.
Yeah, because it's obviously it's being hosted somewhere. So the hosting company, like a Facebook, and they're getting, people are going to that, being driven there.
Right.
So and through that content that you're creating, they kind of have a helping hand in spreading, distributing that content. So
right.
You're saying it'd be a more fair model for everybody to get a piece as opposed to just the company.
Right, yeah, exactly, exactly.
And almost like independent, everybody comes like an independent contractor.
Yeah, yeah, exactly, but like, no, without the paperwork, right?
Right, everyone automatically, the blockchain takes care of everything to pay everybody.
Exactly, yeah.
Which it could only be a little bit, but like, it's the idea of being compensated for your effort.
Pretty much, yeah, exactly. And
slash
appropriately,
content.
Appropriately.
Slash data.
Whatever it may be, right,
yeah.
In any case, exactly.
Wow,
yeah.
That's really cool.
Yeah, and it's interesting, you know, when I think about like Facebook, it's like that couldn't probably happen again in the same way. You know, it's kind of like you had these new solutions like, you know, yeah, Facebook was a perfect example. Like people are putting all this information on this network. And like I remember when I first signed up for Facebook, I've been on there 10 years, which is insane. But I remember there's almost this philosophical nature to like, what are my interests? I never thought about that. I never sat and wrote down my interests. Like,
right.
What are my favorite movies? What are my you know, does anyone do that? Like, so Facebook kind of created this new wave of almost like, I guess somewhat self-reflection. I mean, not that it's that now, it's kind of become narcissistic, but yeah, like,
identity.
You know, it kind of like solidified, like, cause you had to ask yourself, yeah, what are my interests? What are my favorite movies and TV shows? So it's kind of funny, you know, now it's like, okay, Facebook's been around, we're seeing how they're growing, how much money they're making, what they're doing with the data. So I think we're much more aware, even as users. So that's why I think everything you're talking about is to me like the 2.0 of new networks or whatever they are to come. Because now we're smarter and we know that people are going to gather the data and resell it. So that's why I think there's this really interesting practicality to what you have mentioned, because you're kind of cutting people in on that value created by these that network. We've seen it very clearly with Facebook. Now you're saying, well, hey, why don't we get everyone in on it? So I'd be very curious to see how that would play out, what would work, what wouldn't. You know, time will tell, right? But
right,
it's pretty
yeah,
neat.
Exactly. And it's still a little space age sci-fi kind of like,
yeah.
I don't see like the kind of people who post on Instagram, it's very general, you know, general audience. And like, this is kind of a crazy idea right now. I think what you're saying about Facebook and the data having value, I think a lot of people, especially in the Bitcoin scene, are very privacy focused. And that for that reason, they'd be like, you know, anti-Facebook having all this data. But
sure.
In general, people don't really care, I feel like. But they would care if they knew there's a potential they could get compensated for their data, right? If you can get money off of it, then they'd care. So I think that, yeah, there's a big potential there.
Yeah, absolutely.
Have you talked with any particular social media platforms about partnering or potentially implementing, or are you looking to potentially create your own platform?
Oh, that's a great question. So
nice.
This idea was kind of just it was kind of almost just an example for the talk. I actually thought about it when I was just trying to brainstorm ideas of what to talk about. And definitely an easier way to do this if someone were to take this path would to be to partner with an existing social media platform. But for instance, I think you'd have very low success approaching any of the major ones and being like, hey, you should integrate this just because it's so kind of far off, you know. Instagram's focused on like redesigning their iOS app so that people convert more, you know. They're not focused on like allowing their content creators to monetize. So I personally, I am not building this. Not right now. You know, not right now. I'm focused on Lawnmower, but we'll see. We'll see. I think it's a cool idea.
Yeah, maybe that's something to approach like a struggling social media company. Yeah. Look, try this. You got nothing else to lose.
A shot in the dark, man. At that point, yeah.
You never know. I mean, look, shot. I mean, when Facebook first started came out, MySpace was the thing.
Right.
Nobody could touch it, and then next thing you know, it's gone.
Really, really quickly too.
Yeah,
right?
Within like 2 years, it was gone, completely gone.
Yeah, so maybe, man.
You never know. This something springs up, and people are like, "Well, why would I create it over there if I know I could even get like $5 a month?"
Right. Exactly. Yeah, that's true.
And then if I create a lot of content, because there's some people that are on Facebook and social media all day, all the time.
Oh yeah, yeah, right? For sure.
So if they're making more money based on it, I mean, I don't know. I can see this being like a catch on really, really big.
For sure, man. Yeah, I think it's totally possible.
Cool idea.
It's hard to build a social network, though. I think that would be the one thing for me where I'd be like, I don't know if I personally want to do this, but I would definitely be down to help someone else do it, you know?
Yeah, I mean, ideas. You know, it's kind of like how Google produces like these really smart people, and they like have some crazy idea and they do a startup and they're very well trained. So maybe, you know, you get some like ex-Facebooker or someone of that nature that's like, sees the vision that you're putting forth, which I'm sure they do. I mean, it's pretty obvious, like, what's happening with the model. Like, they're a very high-profile company, and, you know, it's not a secret what they're doing.
You engage your users more, I feel like, if you do something like that, because they're looking for engagement from other users, not so much the engagement from the company.
Right.
But this engages them with the company as well. It makes them feel like they're maybe a part of owner, or like have some vested interest because they're getting like a dividend,
right?
In a way,
totally. Yeah, yeah.
You would feel maybe more apt to create content for one versus the other because you know the other one is like on your side because they're both gonna sell your data,
right? Right. Yeah.
Gonna cut you in. Yeah. Because they appreciate your
and as
effort.
A result, you can articulate the data model. And I actually would love for someone, it doesn't have to necessarily be Bitcoin people, but like I would love to hear someone tell me exactly how this data selling process works, because people that are in like information security, like ironically, like people in like government, like FBI and, you know, cybercrime type agencies, they know very well how our data is absolutely assigned a value, and like stolen credit card numbers has a value. Like you can go and say, I'll sell X number of credit cards for this much on dark web or whatever. So I think it's important. There's like a bigger picture here is kind of what I'm getting out of it. So that's really empowering to people to know how your data is being used, and it's even better to incentivize it. And then also you could teach people about how that whole process works.
Right.
Maybe, I'm sure it's kind of like a golden goose that probably the big players haven't really articulated too much. I wouldn't tell everyone how
if
to do
I were
that.
Them. Yeah, yeah, exactly. I don't blame them for that because the public outcry hasn't been big enough. Right?
Exactly.
So why would they?
If like you could almost simultaneously cut people in on the profits, teach them about data, you know, value, and then teach people about how that is happening all across the board. So when anyone gives you free Wi-Fi, free this, free that, what are they really getting? Even that's internet marketing 101. You know,
yeah,
get their
exactly.
email. Pitch them stuff, you know.
Yeah, if you could say we're doing nothing more than anyone else would do, but there's the positive spin of you're making money off of it, right?
Right.
That's cool. You
know? Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That's a great angle. How about we talk a little bit about Bitcoin? Like, what is your definition of Bitcoin?
My favorite really, really simple explanation is just cash for the internet. I like that one
nice.
The most, I would say, because like when I'm talking to my mom, that's the one I use. And I've used it a couple times because she kind of forgets, but yeah. That's my favorite one.
That's
really
a really
simple.
Succinct answer. I like that. How about the blockchain? What is your definition of the blockchain?
So we're talking about the blockchain, like the Bitcoin blockchain,
yeah,
I guess?
Yeah, but you could answer in like blockchain as a concept too, you know, whatever comes to your mind.
Yeah, it's kind of like a global, decentralized, commercial consensus network, kind of.
Nice.
I'm just kind of jamming buzzwords in there, right? Hopefully one of them hits. But I think... You know, a lot of the people at the conference have talked about, like, private versus public blockchains. I'm sure you guys saw, like...
Yeah, that was interesting.
Like, thematically, it's been, like, a thing, basically. And I think that where I stand on that is that I think the private blockchain space and idea does have some legitimacy to it. So I think eventually we'll see multiple blockchains all working together kind of in the future as in these future models of how things will kind of fit together. I don't think it will be just the Bitcoin blockchain, but I don't actually know, right? But that's what I think.
I think you're right. I think there needs to be some private blockchains for some things. I just I just feel like you, nothing in this world is black and white.
Right.
As much as we like to think that things should be one way or the other, or it's yes or no, it's always kind of all yes or kind of no.
Yeah.
And so you might be at 48% yes, and there's still 2% you got to fill with another piece that makes it better for everybody, right? So you just do private or you just do public, you're not going to fulfill all the needs of everybody. And so you need to have both options available.
Right.
Because we don't know what's going to come up down the road.
Totally. So, I totally agree. 100%. Yeah.
That was where I was going.
Yeah.
I would like to circle back to Lawnmower because I think you may not realize how powerful of an app this actually is.
Oh, yeah? Is. Okay.
I think if more people just had this on their phones and would check it like once a month or have like an email sent to them with a once a month, like, oh, you made $7 and you got $7 in Bitcoin and your Bitcoin is now worth $12.
Right.
And you'd be like, all of a sudden people are like, whoa, what's going on? Like, this is awesome. How did this happen? And it's little things like that. Like, I've been trying to get my wife involved to start using it more and more. And when I told her about this, she was like, oh, well, that's easy. I don't have to really do anything. And I'm like, no. And she's a Starbucks person. So she goes to Starbucks a lot.
Yeah.
With Airbits and their Fold app integration.
Right, yeah.
At 20% off, she may, with her spare change, have $5 at the end of the month to buy 20% off gift card.
Nice.
And go to Starbucks. So it's like, hey, there are really cool things that people just don't know about, right?
Sure.
So I think, how can Coinstructive help Lawnmower push that out? Like, that's part of what we're doing, right? We're Bitcoin and blockchain consulting business for helping those companies talk to their potential clients. So
right. In
a business-to-business fashion, what, you know, we should talk maybe offline about how we can help with that marketing or getting the word out for Lawnmower, because I think it's a really simple no-brainer. You don't have to do much, and then once you've used it, that's the real hard part, is getting someone to use it, Bitcoin.
Right.
Once they
try
it, you talk your ear off. And as soon as they try it, they go, that's it?
Yeah, it's so
that's
easy.
It's really not that hard.
Right.
And you're like, oh. So give them away with spare change and with an incentive at the end of the month that they're going to be able to get like a gift card for basically free.
For free, for nothing, yeah.
Yeah. So I think there's some really cool incentives that we can do for like the average consumer. So.
Yeah, we actually, we were in the same incubator as Fold. So we know them really well.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, it was actually dope. And we're like, they talked to us. We were talking about an integration for a little while. It just hasn't happened because of full plates, basically. But we've always thought that would be cool, right? Because it makes sense. Lawnmower being not just, because right now it's really just an investment application, but it would be great if it was full service and you could spend straight from the app. You know, either via, you know, a QR code to someone else's Bitcoin address or directly to Starbucks, right?
Mm-hmm.
I think that'd be awesome. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we're always looking at that, of course. You know,
awesome.
we're consumer apps, so we got to get people in.
Cool. Well, let's talk then, because I have some other ideas I'll share with you.
Okay.
Yeah.
Awesome. So a couple more thoughts before we close out and find out how to get in touch with you. You had a magic wand. What would you change about the industry?
I think the online communities can get a little toxic sometimes.
Mm.
People are almost skeptic to a fault. I mean, skepticism's overall good, but yeah, I think it kind of gets a little crazy.
It takes
that.
Over the conversation.
Right, exactly.
To where a newcomer's like, are you people insane? Like,
yeah,
calm
and
down.
Some of them are, right?
So. There you go. That explains it.
Yeah, it definitely raises the barrier to entry and kind of, you know, we need just more positive vibes online. And in person, it's never like that, right? It's never that dark, right?
Exactly. That's the thing that's weird to me. I'm like, but everyone's so friendly. But then you put them in Reddit and they like freak out.
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
Turn into this monster.
The same thing. You put them in a car and they're
true.
Like, honking the horn and flipping
off. Very true.
As soon as they're not behind the steering wheel or a keyboard, very different people.
All the rules are off. Yeah, exactly, man.
It is weird. Like, you know, we had mentioned Facebook and how it's like, oh, I never thought about what are my interests. Like, how weird would it be if I walked around and was like,
yeah.
And then I texted everyone I know, hey guys, I'm walking down the street in Miami. It's like, wow, you're weird, but like, there's this new way of doing things now, and it's, I don't think we even fully realize how weird it can get, you know?
Right.
So maybe these more in-person sort of gatherings are actually valuable in that standpoint, because people kind of chill out a little more, meet people. Maybe like online, you might have thought someone was really abrasive, but they're actually super friendly and nice, and that's not really who they are. Maybe they do give that off online,
right.
But...
I think that's a good point. It's like the context kind of creates a different attitude. Like you're saying,
right.
Facebook, and then just like this. Yeah, like let's all go to a hotel so that we're forced to be civil about all these things, right? Which is good, you know?
Exactly, exactly. Any resources that you would recommend for people to get started on learning about Bitcoin and the stuff you're involved in? I mean, it's obviously lawnmower.io, shameless plug. but, you know, yeah.
So I like to read a lot about crypto 2.0 stuff. There's two blogs I like to follow. Vitalik's blog on the Ethereum blog is
nice.
Really good. He's like a huge thought leader, huge inspiration. Shout out Vitalik.
Nice.
And then the other one is this, there's like a grad student. I don't remember his name, but the blog is called like the Piachu's Bitcoin blog. And he also has some really good thoughts on like how all this stuff's going to kind of go down in the future. Good stuff. I don't know about starting out with Bitcoin, if I would go there, but for the stage I'm at, I like reading those blogs.
Very cool. No, that's great. I don't think we've had that recommended before. So that's like, this is like, you know, reader beware, this is advanced stuff.
Intermediate,
know?
Maybe.
Intermediate to advanced, yeah.
Yeah.
Nice. Yeah, always so modest, Bitcoin people. But cool. Well, yeah, how do we get in touch with you? Or actually, before I say that, Chris, you got any other thoughts, questions,
no.
comments? Okay. Yeah, well, how do we get in touch with you?
Me personally or
the, either way, whatever you're comfortable sharing.
Company.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
That and, yeah.
Follow Lawnmower at Lawnmower.io on Twitter and Instagram. We actually have the best Bitcoin Instagram in the game. So
there you go.
Shout out. And yeah, you can reach out to me, Peter, Pieter, at lawnmower.io if you want to talk to me about anything, basically.
Yeah. Great, great. And are you going to share any of your, like, that talk you gave? Are you, like, putting any of those slides out there or any of the, is that content out there at all? Like,
No, it's not actually, but I mean, I'm not opposed to it.
Okay.
I might do it if I remember to or something.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, we'll ping you if enough people ask us for it.
That's
so,
cool, perfect.
And we'll put any other links to you in the show notes. And yeah, thank you for joining us. This
right
was
on.
Wonderful.
Yeah, appreciate it, guys.
Thanks, Peter.
Thanks, dudes.
All right, talk to you soon.